This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Hey, what's going on? Here we are, another podcast. I've been hard-pressed to get the time to actually put it together. It is Friday that I'm posting this. Hopefully it finds you well, and maybe you'll enjoy it over the weekend at some point. But anyway, it was a good one. I got to catch up with James Harness, who just took one of the larger imaging jobs to open up in a very long time in Los Angeles at Clear Channel at 102.7 KISS and 98.7. I believe he'll be spending more of his work on 98.7, but we'll hear all about that in the interview. I totally forgot to mention his Twitter the entire interview, except I believe the last second. If you'd like to connect with him, though, it's at James B Me, B E M E, James B Me. If you want to hook up with him on Twitter, if you want to hook up with me on Twitter, at R Dreen. Otherwise, there's plenty of links on my website, RyanOnTheRadio.com. Upcoming on the podcast, all I will hype is the next two guests. The very next guest will be Steve Pygott, a guy I've looked forward to chatting with for a long time. He tells me he hasn't done an interview in a very long time, and so I am very special. I hope you know that. No, but I am pulling him out of his shell a bit to chat it up about all things radio, imaging, branding, some music, you know, anything with noise. Steve Pygott, I first really knew of him from Puretonic Media, just doing some amazing work over there in the UK. I know he was also at KISS 100, a pretty famous radio station. And most recently, he was the CEO, co-owner of Real World Productions. Now he's out there free amongst the wild, and we're going to find out all about him and what he does, and that'll be the very next episode. And then after Steve will be John Carter. If you're unaware of John Carter, he's a very talented and successful voiceover artist, but a highly skilled producer as well. He's handed out some free music from multiple times. I actually featured it on my website a long time ago. He's someone I wanted to interview for a while now, and it just finally worked out. Still waiting for him to clear up some time for me, but that one will be, you know, within the next month or so. So we look forward to that as well. There's still a long list of folks to talk to. I have some other things on the blog as well. I don't know if I said John's website. MegahertzStudios.com is where you can check out his work. But like I said, a really talented VO, and actually in the style of someone that I sort of look up to myself. I'm not saying I'm as good as him or like him, but if there's a style that I try and fit into the category of, he would definitely be one of the top tier dudes in that. Anyway, on the blog, I have some cool little bits coming up. Going to check in with some very talented producers, sound designers, music folks, you know, imaging people and voice talents. We'll be posting those either in 9.5 question form or in just short blog form. For example, there is a highly successful, relatively popular UK producer who I interviewed on this podcast who's making a very large move very soon. Basically, he's coming from the UK to the States for a big job. No details available as of yet, but I'm shaking him down for some information, and I'll be posting that on the blog real quick. Now, though, I shall make with the James Harness interview. First, some amazing James Harness audio.
James Harness.
K-Rock presents YouTube with special guest PJ Harvey.
April 23rd
at the Pond.
Tickets are sold out. This weekend. All weekend. Every time K-Rock plays YouTube.
It's a beautiful day.
Caller 20. Boards the K-Rock Party Jet to Miami to see the opening date of U2's world tour.
K-Rock.
K-R-O-Q. Are you currently... Do you like hanging out with... Ever feel...
Abused.
And...
Confused.
Well then, K-Rock Striker, every night this week, has the perfect remedy for you.
K-Rock presents...
The Vans Warped Tour.
Featuring Pennywise.
At 311.
Newfound Glory.
So there it is, some audio from James Harness. James, man, I really appreciate you slide me in, as I know your life has been a bit busier as of the last few days. So thanks for being on the podcast, man.
No worries. It's been extremely busy, actually.
I like all this clout I have. I tell someone I want to interview him, and they just have to say yes now. So, damn, I'm cool.
I think we're obligated by a production code to do an interview with you, is from what I've been told. So,
oh no, not at all. But actually, I am glad that you fit me in, because from time to time I like to be timely with these podcasts, and you've been on my list of someone to interview for a while, but the list is just humongous. But then you took one of the biggest imaging job openings in all of the land recently, so I wanted to get the dirt on that fast. But before I ramble,
yeah, and there's far greater people than me to interview. So there you go.
Well, yeah, I mean there's some.
There's a lot of talented people out there.
There are actually a lot, and luckily for me, I still have a massive list. But yeah, before we get to your current job, let's let people know, just a little bit about where you've been. Now, I know your work from some of that stuff we just heard, the K-Rock mm-hmm. work. And then I was back east doing radio in New Jersey, and I would listen to, 92.3 K-Rock, New York City, when it was, in my opinion, at one of its best sounding days. And it turns out you were probably doing the imaging when I was there. So start us off sort of, where did you start? How quickly did you rise to do work at KROQ, and then, take us to New York, that kind of thing?
Right. Basically, I was kind of just doing college radio and pretending to learn stuff at college. But I mean, I was really trying to get my foot in the door at K-Rock. I'm from L.A., from here. Mm-hmm. So that was always kind of my dream to get in there. And, it's pretty tough to get your foot in there, period. So I was doing some other, BS internships around the way at a news station and whatnot. And then I finally got a turn to get in there. So I started off there as an intern at K-Rock, just answering the phone.
What school were you at? And just people have an idea.
Oh, I was Cerritos College actually had a little radio station that I was doing some work there on. They had a cool little AM badass station going, and then Long Beach State for a bit.
Nice. And so you start as an intern at this small little KROQ. And how did that go? What happened after that?
It was great, man. I mean, I was answering phones, I was doing van stuff, but I would spend every waking hour like in the production studio after John Frost would leave, and just kind of practicing and doing what he was doing. And I finally got my foot in the door with the Kevin and Bean show. That's the morning show. Mm-hmm. And just started doing production for them after bugging them for quite a bit.
Now, was this a paid job?
That was my first. I actually still have my first paycheck from K-Rock. It was about $30, and it was for passing out stickers in the parking lot. But that was my first kind of full-time gig at K-Rock.
And just to get people an idea, so you start as an intern, you live in the production room, you're sort of self-taught, but then also getting to shadow the John Frost. Were you hired full-time as a production guy and then started doing Kevin and Bean? Or were you just doing stuff for them basically for free just to get someone to notice you?
No, just all for free.
Nice.
Just any time that I had. And I moved to Burbank, and just all off hours that I could jump in there and practice, I did. And then I was hired for the morning show. And that was my first paid, kind of gig, doing production for the morning show, being in at like 5 a.m. in the morning. Till God knows when. We all know those long days.
Mm-hmm. And this is still basically right after college, or maybe a year or two after. So, I mean, are you in the neighborhood of, 23 years old or something?
Yeah, right around there. Maybe a little bit older.
Okay.
Like 45, 50.
Yeah.
But, just kidding.
Okay, so somewhere between 0 and 100 you were. And you get in there with Kevin and Bean. Now, are you making enough money to live off your radio job, or do you still have to actually go do another job somewhere?
Oh, I was making not very much at all. I mean, I literally had a roommate and, living off of spam and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it started to pick up a little bit, and I started doing more production for the station and really was, kind of pestering John Frost a lot. Hey, man, listen to this. Listen to this. Uh-huh. Check this out. He's like, yeah. Keep going. Keep practicing. And, you know, he finally sat down one day and kind of showed me a few things, which, you know, I was real lucky for him to take a minute to show me and kind of help me on the path to get a little bit better. And that demo that you just played.
Yeah.
That was when he first left, and I was still doing kind of production for the morning show. So, you know, boss man Kevin Weatherly, the PD, mm-hmm. who's still the PD there, he's like, hey, John left. I need you to do the weekend promo. I'm like, oh, okay. And I've had, you know, basically no experience doing promos and stuff like that. So that was the U2 promo that you just heard right there, and yeah. I had a voice in and everything, and then a couple other ones, the Vans Warped Tour, but you know, it took me forever to do. I mean, the first promo, it took me probably 8 hours to do.
Well, because honestly, when we have those situations, it's like maybe an hour or two later, you had something good. But you know, it's your first major thing. You probably fine-tuned.
So tweaked until I thought it was perfect, and then tweaked some more, and then. Yeah, so but it was just awesome, man. Just hearing that on the air for the first time, like wow, I got goosebumps and just a real pretty dope moment.
But you didn't take over for Frost immediately, right?
No. I was just helping in the interim, and then that's when Will Morgan uh-huh. came in, and then he kind of took over for Frost, and I was kind of still helping him, and I started doing less morning show and more production for the station. And then we moved over to Culver City, and then it was basically a tag team of Will and myself. Then I think Mike Crank came in, and he was doing commercial production, and he's awesome, you know.
Oh yeah,
he was helping out, so it was a good tag team going on there.
So were you after Will or alongside Mike, or were you ever, you know, the full time imaging director of KROQ, or did it not
yes,
really work?
Yeah.
So you did, okay.
Yeah. After Will left, he was there for a bit, and then he left, and then it was just Mike and I doing everything. I don't know. Maybe that was for a little over a year, I guess. Probably longer than that. I don't remember exactly. But then an opening came up in the sister station in New York.
Right.
WXRK.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Cross was the PD out there, and he's like, hey, come on out. I'm like, yeah. Like, have a chance to go to New York. And everybody kind of thought I was crazy for leaving K-Rock, but you know, it just seemed like a great opportunity to, you know, still stay in the CBS family and become, you know, the main imaging director and chance to live in New York fucking city.
Right. So we jumped to that pretty quick, but that's where I wanted to go. The decision you had to make, though, I mean, basically you were the imaging director of KROQ Los Angeles, you know, one of the rock stations really the alternative station on Earth. And granted, it's New York City, and it is K-Rock, but you had to know some of the ups and downs that station had, and also that market wasn't exactly conducive to an alternative or even new rock station like L.A. is. So did you really, right. did you give any pause before you took that gig, or was it almost like, no, it's New York City, I'm doing it, you know, where do I sign?
No, I mean, I definitely paused for quite a bit just thinking about it and, you know, do I really want to do this? Am I crazy? And yes, I am crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was a tough decision. It really was. And in the end, after I flew out there and met with everybody, it just, I don't know, just felt right. I can't explain it.
What year did you start there?
That was 2004, I believe.
Yeah, that's exactly when I thought it was sounding amazing, actually. Well, I'm trying to remember let me see here. Stern was still doing mornings, but he was just about to leave like a year later, maybe?
Yeah, right about there. Yeah, he was there a little over a year, and everything was smooth sailing for a while. Then that Stern dude left. And
yeah. Yeah.
You know, everything kind of got turned upside down. We tried a couple different, you know, we got a little more active. Uh-huh. Putting some AC/DC in there and kind of mixing it up, and it was tough, but it was actually one of the funnest times I ever had imaging because of all the different formats I got to do. Because if you remember the talk Free FM,
yeah,
with the great David Lee Roth, As the morning show.
Says you. Okay.
Yeah, definitely not great. It was horrible. It was the worst
thing ever. Oh, you were being sarcastic.
Yeah, just a little bit, man. Just a little bit.
Yeah, so you had your hand in that also.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was basically just like producing, you know, a bunch of talk shows, David Lee Roth and like four other shows. And it was actually a lot of fun. And then we decided to go back to K-Rock, which was cool. Then Weatherly kind of relaunched the station, and I thought it was sounding pretty damn good. And then about a year or so later, the powers that be said, no, not sounding so good. Let's add another top 40 station to the New York market.
Uh-huh. There were only maybe 13 at the time, so why not?
There was, 13 and a half. So, yeah, it was a good move. And, yeah, 92.3 now, which it currently is.
Yeah.
And so I did that for a while, and then, you know, eventually we just parted ways, and I came back to Cali.
So tell me a little bit more about that. It was fun because, you know, there were lots of things happening, and they kept you around, even though maybe talent was getting shuffled in and out of the door when it went from K-Rock to Free FM, then back to K-Rock, and I don't know, I think Rob Cross was already gone at that point, right? He was out to maybe Sirius by that point.
Yeah, he was at Sirius.
So you have Weatherly is actually programming both. Is that true?
Yeah, in the second relaunch of K-Rock. Yeah, he was kind of doing both. And then they brought in Tracy Clordy. And then that didn't work out. And then Mike Tierney kind of took over. And he's fantastic. I mean, he's a super smart guy, really gets radio. And it's just a really tough market, man.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the audience for alternative is just it's just not there, unfortunately.
No, it's just, it's not like LA. It's not like a lot of most other big markets. And it's kind of weird to me, but I've had people explain it to me why, and I don't fully believe.
Nothing makes sense, man. There's nothing you could pinpoint and say why. I mean, a majority of the listeners are in Jersey.
Yeah.
And the cool people that listen to alternative and stuff in Brooklyn, the hipsters, they don't, you know, for the most part, don't listen to the radio.
Well, and the stuff that you would have to play to get the hipster Brooklynites to listen is the opposite of the stuff that you need to keep your suburb audience listening. And, you know, then what do you do? Which one do you want, you know?
Yep. So
so this is going down, and you probably are starting to see, well, obviously you just said when the whole now thing happened. Was that a hey, thanks for your service, but we really need to get a CHR guy in here? Or was that a you like, hey guys, I can't really do this whole flippy floppy anymore? You know, how did that go down where you left New York?
No, it was actually fun. I mean, a lot of my production is kind of rhythmic based. And so, I mean, it was a pretty easy transition for me. And I'd done some, you know, some hot AC stuff, but not quite top 40. But it was actually a really fun transition. Dom Theodore came in, and he's just a super creative type and likes a lot of theater and you know, actually taught me a whole bunch. And it just after about a year or so, just, you know, I mean, the station wasn't making any money and they started making a lot of changes. And, you know, we just parted ways. I that was just a great time for us to come back to Cali. And, you know, I think I had a wife at the time that was wanting to come back. And I still have that wife, by the way.
I was just going to say, did you lose her? Or did she leave your ass?
No. So, yeah, we just came back and then I was just kind of independent for a while. And just kind of took a mental break from radio. You know, sometimes you just got to clear your head.
Yeah.
And was just working on some personal projects.
Now, tell us, I mean, I like to get a little, I mean, I don't want personal info per se, and I don't want specific dollar amounts. But, you know, it's hard I'm not going to say lose a gig, but it's hard when you're sort of at that pinnacle, tippy top of the business. And then, you know, you part ways like that from New York City and you don't have a job to just immediately fall back on. Now, were you making enough income off your own, like, you know, side work or your personal business, or were you in financial straits for a while, or, you know, what was life like a little bit there? If you can let us into that area.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a tough transition. And, you know, I can't really get into details, but CBS and I worked out, basically a parting way deal.
Yeah.
So that kind of helped a little bit in the transition and getting all of our stuff back and moving back and getting kind of set up and my studio up and running. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tough transition. And, you know, I didn't have used to make an X amount, and then all of a sudden you have X amount to survive on for, you know, however long it takes to get you set up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was definitely scary, and you know, my wife was a little bit nervous, and but you know, we made it work. I started picking up just some side stuff, and then Mike Tierney had reached out to me, and he had taken over WFNX in Boston,
yeah,
which is, you know, a great alt station, and kind of asked if I wanted to help relaunch that. So I started working on that again within probably 6 months or so, mm-hmm, after moving back. So I kind of just jumped back in and started going again.
And your wife was an LA person, I'm guessing? Grew up there as well?
She grew up here. Yeah, yeah, we met here.
And I mean, it's hard to – I've moved around the country. I've been in, you know, four different types of – you know, California, New Jersey, Colorado, Texas, four very, very different areas. And it's a different kind of person that can adapt to a completely different area like that, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's really tough, especially when you go to, as you probably know, if you go to a market and you don't have any family or friends, you're just like, holy sh, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did I do?
Well, there's certain, the crazy part is the stuff you don't know you're going to miss. You know, it's right. Obvious stuff is like, well, I'm not going to see my parents, you know, once a week or whatever it is. But it's the little thing, the little places you go or the way you get around or the prices on stuff, you know, little things. It's tough for some people to get used to.
But I think that's what kind of, you know, shapes us as a person, just getting out and doing things that you normally don't do, you know, get out of your comfort zone and try new stuff. And I think that's kind of really helped me mentally, you know, survive in the radio game and quote unquote, stay creative and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. So you get out of New York, you know, that chapter's done. You pretty much immediately move back to LA and you start working on, FNX in Boston.
Right.
And then you actually were doing some work for the folks at Dial Global at some point also, right?
That was much later, yeah.
Okay, much later.
Yeah.
So then there's a big gap. What's the gap there? And you know, what were you doing for how many years was it until, I guess, until now, let's say?
It was, I moved back in 2010, February. So, yeah, it was definitely a good couple years. So I was just doing FNX, and my friend has an ad agency, which I kind of started helping with the creative with him in the Orange County. And we started a new project called Wet Electric, where we kind of take over a water park and bring in DJs and just a whole other thing about getting out of the comfort zone and stuff. So we that took a lot of my time for about a good year and a half or so.
Nice. Did you find being the radio creative type, I mean, this might work for jock types as well, but did that open things up or were you more, well, I don't want to say this, were you a little scared that maybe you were in a box, that maybe you were locked into this sort of radio production dude box, that doing something like Wet Electric or a non-radio job would be much more difficult for you to attain? Or did it make you feel more, even more open to non-radio work?
No, I mean, I purposely wanted to try to, you know, do some ventures outside of radio. And one of my, you know, personal projects also was getting into the video scoring.
Okay.
And learning, you know, Final Cut Pro and stuff like that. Just to, you know, the more things you know, as we all know, especially in this business now, mm-hmm, I mean, the more of an asset you are and stuff like that. But, you know, just thinking about long-term stuff and stuff that I like to do and passionate about. So those are some of the things that kind of kept me busy and, you know, I think was good mentally for my brain.
The Producers